Well, hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor here at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we kicked off our brand new series we're calling Camouflage Christmas. And we're looking at this idea that, you know, while the New Testament really starts with, in a sense, the birth of Christ and the Christmas sort of narrative, obviously that's not where Jesus begins. Jesus is the Son of God who has existed forever. And when you look back in the Old Testament, you see all of these prophetic statements, prophecies, figures and types, the characters of the Old Testament, you see them pointing forward to Jesus. There are all of these statements about Christ, about the Messiah, the one who is to come, that, you know, we're kind of getting at this idea that Jesus is there all along. The proof, I think the big idea we've used is the proof is in the prophecies. You can look back and see the coming of Christ was something foretold. He was the long-awaited Savior. And he is, in a sense, undercover in the Old Testament, right? Christ undercover. And so I encouraged our folks on Sunday, you know, when you read the Old Testament, keep an eye out for Christ. Keep your eye on Jesus as you read the Old Testament. The Old Testament stories, they're not just a bunch of disconnected stories that teach moral lessons. It's a narrative. It's the story of God's, it's God's redemption plan. And it's all leading us toward this moment of to the coming of Christ and to his life, death, and resurrection. And then finally, his return. On Sunday, we focused on really Jesus as the fulfillment of the what's called the prophetic office. So I introduced our folks to this idea of what's called the threefold office of Christ, that Jesus is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. And when you look back in the Old Testament, you can see how those three offices were established in the Old Testament: prophets, priests, and kings. And they were really a way of God connecting to his people and people connecting to God. The prophets really represented God to the people. They spoke the words of God to the people. The priests represented the people to God. They specifically made sacrifices on behalf of the people to atone for the sin of the people, to make up or pay for their sin. And then kings ruled as God's agent, right? Their job was to rule on behalf of the Lord and sort of bring his reign and rule into the people's lives. And we see that, you know, there are prophetic statements around all three of those offices, that one day there's going to be a prophet, one day there's going to be the ultimate priest, one day an ultimate king from the line of David, and how all of those find their fulfillment in the life of Jesus. And so we started with this office of prophet, and there's a statement made. So we went back to Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 18, where Moses is up on the mountain, and God descends on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and there's a cloud, and God's glory is revealed, and God speaks to Moses, and the people are terrified, and Moses tells them, don't be afraid. But they end up telling Moses, we don't want God to speak directly to us because he would kill us being in his presence. We can't be with him directly. We want you to speak to us. And so they basically ask Moses, will you be the prophet, right? Will you be a prophet who speaks on behalf of God to us? And at the end of his life, Deuteronomy 18, Moses tells the Israelites, there's going to be a prophet that God raises up, a prophet like me from among the Israelites, from among your brothers. You must listen to him. And so what we did is we skipped forward to a moment in Jesus's life that really is the ultimate fulfillment of that statement by Moses, where Jesus takes his disciples, specifically Peter, John, and James, and he takes them up on a mountain, and God comes, right? Jesus is glorified. There's a cloud that descends on the mountain. God speaks. Jesus is transfigured or transformed. Peter, James, and John get to see the glory of Jesus and who he is. Elijah and Moses are there representing that the prophets in the Old Testament, the prophets and the law all point forward to Jesus. And the disciples are terrified. Jesus tells them, don't be afraid. And I mean, there's all these amazing, striking parallels between the scene with Moses and the Israelites and then the scene here with Jesus and his disciples. And then God says, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. And then he says that phrase, listen to him. The same thing that Moses said. Moses said, one day, right, a prophet like me, God's going to raise up a prophet like me. You must listen to him. And here God says, listen to him. And it's this, I think, clear indication that Jesus, right, while there was a temporary fulfillment of what Moses said there with the other prophets who were raised up by God after him, Elijah and Elisha and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, Joshua right after Moses, the ultimate fulfillment of that comes in Jesus. Jesus, who doesn't just speak the words of God to us, he is the word of God to us. Jesus is the word made flesh. He is divinity wrapped in humanity. And I told our folks, if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. Look at his life. Look at his teachings. Look at the cross. Look at his resurrection. If you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. And I think it's true for all of us that there's something in us that we are looking for a savior. We're all looking for that person or that thing or that technique or that self-help guru or whatever it may be. We're looking for that person that key to success, the person who's going to help us transform our lives, that thing that's going to bring transformation in our lives and in our family. And we search for it in so many different places and in so many different people. Maybe for you, a political figure. Maybe for you, a career or a romantic relationship or a diet or a self-help book or a regimen or whatever it may be. And yet the good news of the gospel, the good news of Christmas, is that the person who brings true transformation has already come. His name is Jesus. He's the Son of God, the Word of God made flesh, the ultimate prophet, more than a prophet, the Son of God, who represents God to us, and as we'll talk about in the coming weeks, represents us to God as our perfect high priest and who rules over us as King and Lord. And so I left our folks this question. I'll leave you with this question. Will you listen to him? Will you obey him? Will you trust him with your life? Will you listen to Jesus, the Son of God? Let me pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to take some time this morning to reflect and just to pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, thank you that you loved us enough that you gave your only Son for us, that whoever would believe would not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus, that you came, you lived, you died in our place, and you rose again that we might have new life in you. And I pray this Christmas season, as we head toward Christmas Day, God, will you turn our eyes and our hearts and our minds away from to see past the gifts and the trees and the food and the lights. God, those are all good things, but turn our hearts, fix our eyes on you. Help us to see the deeper and more profound meaning of the coming of Christ. We love you, Jesus. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.